Let's pray as we're standing. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the words of Jesus, and we pray that as we listen to them this morning with our ears, you would help us by your Spirit to receive them in our hearts and minds. Give us strength that we might live in the light of your truth. And we pray for Jesus' sake. Amen. Do sit down. Well, I wonder if you've heard of the butterfly effect. It's a theory developed by some mathematicians that argues that hidden, small happenings can have large effects elsewhere. So the theory goes that the flapping of a butterfly's wings in Italy could later affect the weather in East Yorkshire. Well, the theory of the butterfly effect seems to be borne out by certain experiments, and it is held by several scientists and philosophers. This morning, as we come to Jesus' teaching in Matthew's Gospel, we hear of what might seem to be hidden, unspectacular qualities or actions, but they have very significant, far-reaching effects. Well, in these weeks running up to Christmas, we're considering what it means to be a mission-minded church. We've seen that any idea of mission being sent out to serve starts with God. It is his idea, and we are to engage in it that his name might be hallowed, respected, honoured as we pray in the Lord's Prayer. Last week we saw that a vital definition of mission is the one that the risen Jesus gave to his disciples in John chapter 20. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. We are sent out into the world to serve others just as Jesus was sent into the world by his Heavenly Father. And yet we are not left to get on with this on our own. As Jesus spoke those words, he breathed on his disciples and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And that's a wonderful reminder that we have the help of God's Spirit, the personal life breath of the risen Jesus himself, to help us to point others to him. Well, this morning we're looking at Matthew's Gospel, chapter 9. So if you've got a Bible there in front of you, in the Black Bibles, it's page 982. Matthew chapter 9, page 982. Now, the Gospel writer Matthew has been presenting his portrait of Jesus and passing on Jesus' profound and challenging teaching. Jesus has recently delivered what has become known as the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus' identity as the authoritative Son of God, that is the King of God's newly established kingdom, with power over sickness, evil, nature, and people, is being made known. Now, in our reading, we see that truth illustrated in the lives of two blind men to whom Jesus restored their sight, and also a man severely influenced by evil that he set free. Now, when we reach verse 35 of the reading, Jesus is continuing this mission. He is making known the good news about himself and giving signs of its reality by curing people of serious illness. And Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. And as Jesus does this, we see, first of all, an invisible quality which has significant effect. Just look at verse 36. When Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion for them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus looked at the large number of people in front of him, and he had compassion for them. Now, the word compassion here speaks of something deep inside. Perhaps the best contemporary equivalent is something like, when he saw the crowds, Jesus was gutted. You see, it's so easy for us, as we hear of people's needs, to become somehow weary and feel helpless and so rather hardened. Some of us may remember back in the 1980s at the height of the Ethiopian famine, with images of desperate need being streamed into our living rooms day after day, that commentators started to talk about compassion fatigue. People started to get rather weary at first they'd enthusiastically given to charity, and then things started to decrease. Well, Jesus didn't become tired of people and their needs. He was moved at a deep level. He had compassion on the crowds. And why? Well, he recognized that they were, verse 36, harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Now, couldn't that be, in many ways, a description of modern life for many people? A recent estimate in the media suggested that lost work due to stress cost UK businesses more than £8 billion. We hear of aimless young people, even from Ferriby, congregating in Hull city centre, listening to deeply depressing music and experimenting with drugs and drink. We live in a region with the highest unemployment amongst 18 to 25-year-olds, leaving many feeling hopeless. And many feel harassed and helpless. And like those people in the Galilee region that Jesus met, there is a great ignorance about spiritual needs. Very small percentages of people in our region have any connection to church to find out about God. So many around us are purposeless, rudderless, leaderless, like sheep without a shepherd. Well, as we hear about such things and others, it's quite easy to tut and even at times to become outraged. But Jesus, though very clear about identifying sin and evil, here sees human need in its various forms and he meets it with compassion. His heart went out to people. He was moved by those harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Now, it is worth examining our own attitudes towards the contemporary crowds for a moment, those who seem to know little about the true and living God. The colleague at work who mocks faith. The crudely materialistic neighbour. The cynical relative. The anti-Christian broadcaster. Well, like Jesus, there will be time to be rightly and justly angry, but being part of Jesus' ongoing mission will mean sharing something of his compassion. Mission, after all, is about people, real people with real need in their real lives. And Jesus here sees beyond the large numbers, he sees beyond the dubious behaviour of the stressed and aimless, and he sees needy people. Like sheep without a shepherd. Just a short time before, in verse 12 of Matthew chapter 9, Jesus has summed up his mission. "It is not the healthy who need a doctor," he said, "but the sick. For I have come to call not the righteous, but sinners." Now, as we hope to see next week, Jesus is drawn to those who are put upon and exploited, those lacking leadership, those who are suffering, those who are most aware of their needs, and those who hope that he, the true doctor, can somehow help them. But you know, as we see these words, we also have to recognize that Jesus' compassion was more than a feeling. He speaks of a truth that goes beyond compassion as a mere emotion. The masses Jesus sees are like sheep without a shepherd. Now, the language that Jesus used reminds us of the way that God promised that he would send a new shepherd king Messiah, one who would truly lead his people in love, one who would feed and protect them and address their needs. Matthew, the gospel writer, quotes the prophet Micah when Jesus is born. "And you, O Bethlehem, from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people." And Jesus, as he approaches his death, at the end of Matthew's gospel, quotes the prophet Zechariah, where the shepherd is struck and the sheep are scattered, ultimately in order to rescue them from their sins. You see, not only is Jesus compassionate as he engages with people, he is himself the shepherd that the harassed and the helpless need. He is the good shepherd who cares for his sheep, the one who ultimately lays down his life for them. Well, like the butterfly effect then, compassion is a hidden, unseen quality, but it is powerful and vital for Jesus' people as we take his mission seriously. But you know, as we listen to Jesus, we find another hidden, surprising influence that he commends when it comes to mission. In verse 37, the image changes as Jesus continues to speak to his disciples. Instead of sheep farming, the focus is now on arable farming. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful." Now, often if you read Jesus' teaching in the Gospels, when he uses the idea of harvest, he's talking about harvest time. That is the end of the age, the time of judgment. But here he speaks of a harvest crop. The harvest is plentiful, he says. Jesus is making plain that there are a large number of people wanting to hear the good news of his loving, saving rule. The field of the people of the world are ready to be harvested. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few." You see, he's saying that the urgent need in the world is for workers, for people to go and share the good news with the needy people that they encounter. Messengers who can offer Jesus, the good shepherd, to people. Now, I suspect that for most of us, if we can grasp this sort of vision, people needing to hear of Jesus, both nearby in our own community and friendship networks, or further afield in our region, our country, our continent, in the world, well, then we might start to think something like this. How can we find more people to be engaging in this work? How can we improve recruitment to the ministry and the international mission field? Can we provide better training? Can we set up schemes or look to raise funding for such initiatives? Well, all such things are good. And it's been our privilege here at All Saints to be involved in a small way in helping workers to gain experience and to undergo training so that they're better equipped for this task. And I hope that we can continue to do that. But what does Jesus say is the first step? The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray. Pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. You see, the first thing to do in the light of the need that we see around us is to share the good news, to engage in Jesus' mission, is to plead with God in prayer. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Now, when we give it a moment's thought, we know that the world that we live in is a broken world. There's great need in every corner, whether prosperous or poor, uneducated or educated, living in a democracy or under a tyranny. So how will the kingdom of God spread? Can it be by human effort and cleverness? No. It can only spread as God himself is at work, opening hearts and minds to the gospel. So we must pray that God would do those very things. So can I ask, is this work of God in lives something that we pray for? Do we ask God to work in those we know who are not yet Christians? You know, we can all play a part in this part of the team effort of being a mission-minded church, praying that God would soften hearts as people hear the truth, that he would open spiritually blind eyes so that they can see, asking for help for those who have the opportunity to point people to Jesus. And you know, to aid that kind of prayer, it is good to do some practical things, to have lists of people to pray for, maybe to have a time of day or a place where we can cry out to God earnestly for friends and family. Perhaps we can do it when we're washing up, when we're sat at certain traffic lights in the car, or whilst we're shaving. Pray for our own community and the people that we have connections with. God alone can do the spiritual work in people's hearts. We cannot do it. So let's all pray that God would be doing that which we cannot do. Now, interestingly, the particular thing that Jesus tells his people to pray for in regard to the harvest of people who are to be brought in is to pray for workers. Do you remember? Pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out labourers into his harvest. Now, God can certainly use general prayers that he would rescue people and bring them to his Son for salvation. But of course, God usually works in his world using means. And so we're told to pray that God would raise up people, means, to share the good news and to illustrate it in the world. Workers to whom God gives gifts to be able to serve him. Gifts to explain the gospel clearly and graces to do so in a thoughtful, engaging and loving way. So pray that God would raise up gifted Christians to share the good news here in Ferriby. Those who can work amongst young people, older people, those who are effective at reaching out to men, those who can connect with families and so on. How we need to hear this challenge ourselves and as a church. It is important that we pray as we gather together week by week, that we make more opportunity of the corporate opportunities there are before us to pray in home groups and monthly prayer meetings. And it's good that we're on the eve of our annual day of prayer. So can I encourage more of us to consider how we can join in praying together as well as on our own? You don't have to be worried about praying out loud. God can hear our quiet prayers if you'd rather not pray out loud. And when we do have a go at public prayer, it doesn't need to be clever or erudite, just humbly offered to our loving Heavenly Father. After all, it's him we're primarily speaking to on behalf of others. As we think about being a mission-minded church, the quiet, hidden side of mission must be recognised. Earnest prayer to the Lord of the harvest is foundational. Well, you remember we began with the theory of the butterfly effect, that hidden, small happenings can have large effects elsewhere. And we've seen from Jesus that when it comes to mission, compassion may not be visible, but it is vital. Vital if we're to take seriously being sent out by Jesus to serve people in his name. And crucially, we must engage in an activity that is often unspectacular and hidden. That is prayer. Prayer that God would do his indispensable work, enabling the good news to be heard and grasped, sending out workers into his harvest field. And you know, when you think about it, this is greatly encouraging in many ways. For in the corporate effort that is sharing and promoting Jesus' good news, not all of us will be confident about speaking to others about the message of salvation. But all Christians can be confident about speaking to God about the salvation of others. When Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the labourers are few. Therefore pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out labourers into his harvest." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus, the Good Shepherd. And as we think about the needs of the world, we pray that you would help us to grow in compassion as we engage with people. And give us grace as individuals and as a church that we might be those who do pray earnestly to you, that you would be at work, that you would be doing that which only you can do, and that you would be raising up those who can effectively share your gospel here and further afield. So give us strength and grace, we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen.